As we gather this day, we welcome you to Astana as we will seek to worship our God. And so good to see each and every one of you with us, whether you are with us physically in the building or perhaps in a vehicle outside or in your homes as you're listening to this service live on the radio or perhaps on the later on the internet. And by the way, we will be celebrating communion today. As many of you know, today is World Communion Sunday. And I always love to celebrate on World Communion Sunday because I can envision all over the world churches and house churches and places of worship are celebrating communion just like we are. And what a wonderful picture of when we all get to heaven, a people of every nation, every tongue, every tribe who are redeemed will be celebrating with God up in heaven. So what a wonderful joy for that. Before I get to our bulletin and announcements, the flowers that you see over here are in loving memory of Jenny Neff from her sister Linda. Today, Jenny would have been 82 years old. And I know I'm going to pay for it when I get up to glory for saying her age, but there you have it. So as we remember Jenny on this day and we honor her, Linda honors her with those wonderful, wonderful flowers. Our next Jenny's Lunch will be this coming Thursday, October 9th at noon. The menu will be egg, parmesan, pasta, sauce, salad, bread, and dessert. Men's breakfast will be Saturday, October the 11th at 8 a.m. And then on that following Tuesday, our consistory will meet on October 14th. And so many things are happening in October, including our fall dinner, which is October 25th, 4 through 6 p.m. And there's seats downstairs still for sign up for various different ways that you might be able to help or participate in that with the community dinner. And then we'll be having our craft fair November 8th. Notice also we're still collecting for Reads Across America. Please see Nancy Gore regarding that. And we'll be setting those out on Sunday, December 13th. It's that, Saturday, excuse me. Why did I think that was a Sunday? Glory, hallelujah. Saturday. Oh, yeah, I should have known that because that's the same day that we'll be doing the gym Christmas baskets on that same Saturday. All right. Okay. All right. Are there any other announcements we wish to share? Yes.
Yes, sir. For people to know, there is some coffee downstairs.
Yes, the sign-up sheets for the fall dinner. And then while you're downstairs, and there's coffee and some donuts and such downstairs after worship. Here are no other. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. Before the prelude started, I saw another hand. Yes, Mary Ann. Yes.
Pauline is a little under the weather. She has a sore throat and she's been sneezing and coughing, so we're not going to see Pauline today.
All right. We'll add Pauline to our prayers if we can keep Pauline in our prayers. All right. Right now, thank you in our entry. Thank you, Lord. By day, I view thy wondrous cross. Let us join together, please, in singing our intro. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Our synthesis this morning will come to us from a book that we don't often read when we gather together, the book of Lamentations, chapter 1. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She was that great among the nations. She was that princess among the cities, has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night, tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. And all her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. The roads to Zion mourns, for none shall come to appoint feasts. All her gates are desolate, her priests groan. Her maidens have been dragged away, and she herself suffers bitterly. Her foes have become the head, her enemies prosper. The cause of the Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone away captives before the foe.
From the daughter of Zion has departed all her majesty. Her princes have become like hearts that find no pasture. They fled without strength before the pursuer.
Let's continue our praise, please, with our first hymn of prayer, hymn of praise. Good night in the morning. Great, God leads us along, hymn number 46. In shady green pastures, so rich and so
thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we confess before you our sinful nature. We are prone to evil and slow to do good. We recognize our shortcomings and offenses. You alone know how often we have sinned and wandering from your ways and wasting your gifts and forgetting your love. Have mercy on us who are ashamed and sorry for everything that displeased you. Cleanse us from our known and secret faults, and forgive our sins. Hear us as we spend a few moments in silent prayer to you, Heavenly Father. Hear us as we pray. And, O most holy and loving God, help us to live in your light and walk in your ways, according to the commandments of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news and let us live in the loving kindness of our God. Lord, have mercy on us. Come and heal our land. Cleanse with your fire, heal with your touch. Humbly we bow and call upon you now. O Lord, have mercy on us. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thank you. Please be seated. Hear these words that our Lord Jesus Christ has said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen. Right now, our words of assurance will come to us from Psalm 137, 1 through 9.
Psalm 137, by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, Raze it, down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, you devastator, happy shall be he be who requites you with what you have done to us. Happy shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock.
This is the word of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated. Right now, our ministry of music. Magnificent, marvelous, matchless love. Thank you. Oh, I wonder where I put my Bible. Okay. Thank you so much, Linda, for that. Wow, that was an interesting passage of scripture we read a moment ago in Lamentations. It was, I'm sorry?
Pretty rough.
Oh, rough. It's pretty rough reading that. But it's not until you get to chapter 3 in Lamentation where you see these words, "Thy compassions are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Sometimes the bad is there first. And admittedly, it is like the scripture that Mrs. Baker just read a moment ago in Psalm 137. Admittedly, I have noticed in our lectionary, and I use the lectionary texts throughout the year because so many different churches use the lectionary texts. Methodist churches, Baptist churches, Roman Catholic churches. And if you happen to not be here on a Sunday and you're visiting one of those other churches, the same text that we read here, you'll hear there. So that's what I like about it. But it is this chapter that we just read in Psalm 137, that last verse. Oy! If there was ever a verse, if I had the ability to erase from scripture, that will be it. And it is a really, really difficult verse to read. I'm going to read it again. "Happy shall he be who takes your little ones and dash them upon against the rock." Who in the world would do that? I'm so grateful for our young people who are here today. I want to let you know that I pray for you. And I pray for you not only on Sundays, but through the week. Because I remember how it was when my kids were in school. I remember how it was when I was in school about 25 years ago. And it is much difficult today than it was when I was growing up. And so I pray for you. And that no harm would come to you. But you know what? They used to do some really, really bad things to kids. Horrible things. But I guess what I want to say to you is, that's not how Jesus treats you. That's absolutely not how Jesus treats you. He loves you more than you will ever know. He loves you even before you were born. Now, tomorrow, some of you, many of you, would be going back to school. How many of you are in school right now? It's about almost all of us. It'll be just a couple, few more years. You turn around, there'll be school. And some of us have some friends that we can't wait to see. And then there are some people we just don't want to see. You know, so they're kind of mean to us. Maybe they say things to us that's not nice and right. If you would do me a favor, you don't have to move anywhere, but if you could turn around and look up at that window right there, right in the corner, right in the middle, what do you see there? You see Jesus, and he's blessing the children. You know what? That's one of my favorite pictures. I love to see that. And the Bible says on the day that people were bringing Jesus, or bringing children to Jesus so Jesus can lay his hands on and bless them, you know what the disciples said? Don't do it. They're loud. They squirm all over the place. They make a ruckus. Don't do it, Jesus. Well, they have runny noses. they're not going to stay. They may say something to make you turn red. Jesus, don't do it. But Jesus said, leave me alone. And he went to each child, and he laid hands on them, and he blessed them. And I wonder what he said. Scripture doesn't say. I don't know. But I want to bless you now. Can I do that? And I want to use the same blessing we use when we close. Excuse me, if I get a little emotional with that. I want to say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. I love that last phrase. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you. You know what that means? That literally means, may God pay attention to you. May God pay attention to you. I know it's not proper to point, but if you will forgive me for this moment. May God pay attention to you. May God pay attention to you. May God pay attention to you. Oh, may God pay attention to you. And when God pays attention to you, you're safe. You're okay. That even if people are mean to you, God sees it. God is with you and never, ever will leave you. Father God, thank you that even the world and other people might want to do harm to our children. You do not. You love them. And not only do you love them, you bless them. And you have entrusted us to raise them, protect them, to teach them, to feed them, to clothe them, to take care of them because you love them so much. And I pray that even this day, this week, they may know that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Right now, let's take our hymnals, please, and turn. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. And we're going down to Children's Church to our next hymn of praise.
By which they conquered.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We started off a little bit slow on that song. I might have been an unfamiliar song to some, but you got it after we sang the 20th verse or the first verse. That one. Okay. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for your word. And like when we sit down at mealtime and we ask your blessing upon the supper we're about to eat or the breakfast or lunch, we ask your blessing upon your word. We ask that you would take these words, these living words, and that our ears might be attuned to hear them. Our hearts receptive, yes, but our wills changed to be in accordance to thy will. We pray in your most holy name. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning will come to us from Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, and verses 5 through 10. Luke chapter 17, 5 through 10. And he said, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamine tree, be rooted up and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and gird yourself and serve me till I eat and drink, and afterwards you shall eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? Verse number 10 is the last. So you also, when you have done all that is commanded you, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. The apostles asked Jesus to increase their faith. Do we also ask? It was a simple request. Increase our faith. The word increase here is to add to or to do it again. The Greek word actually is a combination of two words, a preposition and a verb. The preposition is the word to, T-O, and the verb is to put or to place. So to put something to our faith, to increase our faith. When we think of faith, we may generally think of in a religious context, we say faith is putting confidence in someone, a person, idea, or concept. I have faith in you is a common expression. For believers, we say we have faith in Jesus. It's a person that we have trust in. And then faith also talks about a belief in God's ability to provide salvation. I know that when I call out in faith to God in response to what he's done at the cross, and he says, yes, welcome to my kingdom. You are my son or my daughter and Christ. The apostles were committed to increasing their faith and their belief about Jesus. Constantly they saw Jesus do wonderful things, miraculous things, gracious things, and their desire was increase our faith. Increase our faith. Now Jesus is amazing. That's you don't need me to tell you that. You know that. And I love the way that Jesus teaches. And I love the way that Jesus illustrates things. Notice how Jesus answers the apostles. Their request was just simple. Increase our faith, Lord. And this is what Jesus said. If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed. You should say to this sycamine tree, be rooted up and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Mustard seed. Now on the shelf over here, I have a spice that I bought from the store, and someone else gave me one just like that. It's called mustard seed. And they're tiny, 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 tiny little seeds. Now, I don't know what to use that for. Maybe you do. I never cooked with mustard seed. But I like to keep them because they're so tiny. As a matter of fact, if I were to bring that little jar out and oops, when I got, those things would run all over the place. And you could take a vacuum and hopefully get them all, but I guarantee you every now and then you say, oh, there's another one over here. There's another one over there. They're tiny. And Jesus said to the apostles when they said, increase our faith, Jesus said, if you have faith in just one tiny little mustard seed, you can say to that sycamine tree, be uprooted and cast into the sea. Now, the mustard seed plant starts as a very tiny seed, and it grows into a very large shrub. A sycamine tree is known for its deep roots. I mean, in order to uproot a sycamine tree, you're going to have to do some muscle there. I mean, those roots are nice and long and far down into the ground. And Jesus says all you need to do is just have just a tiny little faith, and that sycamine tree will be gone. Writer and theologian Henry Nguyen said, a mustard seed grows into the ground, small and insignificant, but emerges as a plant that offers itself in full. Desmond Tutu said, the mustard seed teaches us the beauty of hope. It shows how greatness springs from the humblest beginning. Just a tiny little seed. Just a tiny little seed. And the apostle said, give us, increase our faith. And Jesus says, if you have faith, just a tiny bit of faith, great things will happen. And one of the wonderful truths of that illustration that Jesus gave is that everyone has just a little bit of faith. Our faith may not be great. Our faith may not always be sustaining. Our faith may not always be earth-shattering and changing. But even a tiny bit of faith, God can do great and mighty things. And I love how God was able to use the little bit of faith of the apostles. These are just some of the things the apostles were able to do. And by the way, just think of who these apostles were, the disciples of Jesus. All of them except for Judas are listed as apostles, Judas that betrayer. Peter and James and John and Matthew and all the sons of Zebedee and all the disciples, Thaddeus, all of them had their own particular indiscretions, idiosyncrasies. That's the word I was trying to get out. Idiosyncrasies. But they changed the world. One way they did was they spread the gospel. The apostles were central in their focus in spreading the gospel through the known world. Paul is an example of that and his many multitude of missionary journeys and going throughout the world. This morning in my devotion, I read online the words of hope. I'm so glad I did this morning because I didn't realize they had for the month of October, they had a prayer focus for October. And I opened that up and I read it, and it listed all of our missionaries around the world spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember reading about Iran that has less than 1% of believers there. Today are celebrating communion, some for the very first time, many in secret. And we're going to celebrate in just a few moments, and The doors are welcoming. People come in. The windows are open. If you're tall enough, you could peek in and say it and see what we're doing. We're not hiding. We don't have to celebrate in secret. We don't have to worry about the government coming in and saying, you can't do that. We don't have to worry about the denominations saying, you can't do that. There are some places that that is a reality. And God used those 11 individuals to impact the world with Jesus Christ, to establish the early church, writing the New Testament, long time legacy. What great things God is able to do through those who trust God, even in the little. Their request to Jesus was simply increase their faith. And notice their impact in our world today. Little was much when God is in it. Little was much when God is in it is a very powerful phrase. We hear it oftentimes. But what that means is God can take even the smallest of offerings and efforts of people and do extraordinary things. And there's examples in the Word of God, many of them, I've just shared three of them with you, of how God can take something that's tiny and little and do wonderful things. Most of us know this first example. I think all of us probably know all of them. First one was taken from the Old Testament. Little shepherd boy named David who was spying on his brothers, and he was a little ruddy person that scripture described. Many of us have that brother or sister that's always have their nose where it ought not belong. Here comes Andrew. Here comes Kent. Get him out of here. He's doing stuff. He's doing. But yet David took a little stone and flattened a humongous giant. Because David said, you have no right to say the words, those disgusting words about my God. Took a little stone, little old David, and the giant fell. What about that widow who we don't know her name? The scripture doesn't mention it. But there was a particular day when offering was being received in the temple, and Jesus was there, and he saw all sorts of people putting money in the offering. And there was a little widow, and all she had was two mites, two pennies, if you please, even less than that in our economy. And she placed them in the offering plate amongst the $5 and $10 and $50 and $20 and hundreds of dollars. And Jesus noticed those tiny little mites, those two tiny little pennies, if you please, because she gave everything she had. And over 2,000 years, we're still talking about her. Little as much when God was in it. The last illustration is when Jesus was preaching his teaching, and likewise when Jesus teach, crowds come. They just love to hear him. As a matter of fact, some people came because they wanted to see him do another hocus pocus. They wanted to see him do another miracle. Others came because they loved his teaching. Others came because they wanted to follow him. Whatever the motivation, thousands came. And Jesus, like some of us, I was talking to my brother on the phone. We met together. He was up visiting from Georgia. We met at a restaurant in Amsterdam, Ruby Tuesdays. And we were talking about our Sundays and preaching. He said, I remember the time when he came to speak here. And our services are quite a bit shorter than theirs. And I forgot to tell him that. And when he preaches, I think his sermons are about 45 minutes long. Our sermons, even though it may feel that way, it's not that long. I could do an introduction. His introduction is 5 minutes into, you know. And we were talking about how long-winded he is and folks like that. Can you imagine how people were when Jesus was talking and talking and talking? And all of a sudden, the stomach is growling and people are getting hungry. And the disciples said, "That's a lot of people here. We can't feed them. You know, Golden Corral is not open yet. What are we going to do?" And Jesus said, "There's a lad here, a little old boy. All that little boy had was 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. And it fed the thousands. Even what seems to be small and insignificant, God is able to do mighty things through it all." It speaks of God's ability to magnify our efforts for his purposes. He takes that tiny little faith and he magnifies it. You know what happens? Our faith gets larger and larger and larger and larger. And before you know it, we can live by faith, by trusting in God's presence. Faith provides that assurance that God is indeed here today, guiding in our lives and helping us navigate uncertainties and challenges. I wish you were in Sunday school this morning. We had a wonderful time of sharing together in Romans chapter 8, and one of us gave a story of how God protected them in a miraculous way. I protected them from a horrendous car accident. God's presence is with us today. That's faith. And then faith says God gives us strength in trials. And we go through various different things that all of us go through. We can have hope and trust in God's plan, that God knows exactly what God is doing. And God knows exactly what we're going through. And he will not abandon us in an hour of need. I'm not saying everything would be nice and wonderful. We'll never have any problems. Nor am I saying that God will just make sure that we would always have difficult times. No, what I'm saying is when trials come, God is there as well. When difficulties arise, God is there. And our faith is strengthened in the trials. Come what may, we will say that God never gives up on us. And then activation of God's promises. Living by faith aligns our lives with God's promises, making every day an act of faith. Say, "I don't understand what's going on, but I can trust God. I may not know where God's hand is in this situation or that, but I can always trust God's heart." That God always surrounds us with his loving care and compassion. Yes, we may go through difficult times. Yes, we may go through wonderful times. But in and through it all, we have faith in God. And then we have faith in God's provision throughout our lives. "Well, any of you," Jesus said, "who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep, say to him when he comes to the field, 'Come at once and sit down at table.' Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and gird yourself and serve me until I eat and drink, and afterwards you shall eat and drink?' Does he thank the servant because he did what he commanded? Oh, no. We do what our duty is." So in closing, I wonder this. When we ask Jesus to increase our faith, may we ask ourselves these 4 questions. 1, how can we cultivate faith that has the potential of growing from a mustard seed into a great, great movement or thing of God in our lives? What are some examples, 2, of small acts of faith in our life that had a significant impact? 3, what ways can we practice faithfulness and obedient daily living, even when our contribution seems small and tiny? And then lastly, how do we interpret Jesus' teaching about the role of a servant, and how does that apply to our faith today? When Jesus says a servant just does what they're supposed to do, what does that say about how I trust him? When I say, "God, increase my faith," and I walk out of the building here on Sunday and walk into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and the rest of the week, and all the bills are coming due and the mail is there and we get a phone call. Everything happens. A world seemingly crashed down. Where is our faith? Do we have the mustard seed? May God grant that we carry that mustard seed with us. So you also, when you have done all that is commanded, you say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what our master has told us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that it also reminds us of your grace, provision for us throughout this old world. And help us in these days to practice, even if it's a small mustard seed, faith in you and watch it grow in your most holy name. Amen. I would encourage us to take our hymnals, please, and turn to 183, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. And just the first two verses, I neglected to put that in the bulletin, verses 1 and 2 of Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Let's stand together as we sing. I'll ask the elders and the deacons to gather, please. As we remember the words of the Nicene Creed, we say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man and crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this Holy Supper which we're about to celebrate is the feast of remembrance, of communion, and of hope. We come remembering our Lord Jesus Christ was sent into the Father and from the Father into the world to assume our flesh and blood and fulfill for us all obedience to the divine law, even to the bitter and shameful death on the cross. He established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation that we might be accepted of God and never forsaken by him. We come to have communion with the same Christ who has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. In the breaking of bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread that strengthens to life eternal. In a cup of blessing, he comes to us as the vine in whom we must abide if we are to bear fruit. And then we come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a foretaste of the feast of love, which we shall partake when his kingdom has fully come, when with unveiled face we shall be made like unto him, and made like unto him in his glory. Since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has attained to us all obedience we are to receive the supper in true love, mindful of the communion of the saints. And all who are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and who have expressed their love for Jesus within the fellowship of the church, are welcome to this table. Let us pray. Holy and right is it, and our joyful duty, to give thanks to you at all times and all places, O Lord, our Creator. Almighty and everlasting God, you created heaven with all of its hosts and earth with all its plenty. You have given us life and being and preserved us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made flesh for us and for our salvation. For this precious gift of this mighty Savior who has reconciled us to you, we praise and bless you, O God. With your whole church on earth and with all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sins of the whole world. In the joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread which we break, the cup which we bless, may be to us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Grant that being joined together in him, we may obtain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things into Christ our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the world into your kingdom. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so the Lord's death until he come." Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this bread that reminds us of the body of Christ offered on the cross for our redemption. We ask your blessing upon this bread that it might be for us the communion of the body of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. This bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Let us eat together. Father, we thank you also for the cup that reminds us of the precious blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, but we're forgiven today because of the blood of Jesus. We ask our blessing upon this cup that it might be to us the communion of the blood of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The cup which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Let us drink together, please. Father, we thank you now that you have now fed us at your table, and we are grateful for your gifts. We ask our blessing upon this meal in Christ's name. Amen. Right now, let us receive our tithes and our offering. Monies we're able to receive. We ask your blessing upon them in Christ's precious name. Amen. Let us pass in peace. Beloved, when we receive communion and I'm able to look into each eye of each of our elders and our deacons and to say the words of the communion of the body of Christ, communion of the blood of Christ. I love it. And each one would look me in my yellow, red, purple eyes also. And likewise share that. I wish we could do that with each person here, but it'll be longer where we are right now. As we come to pray, let us remember the request that we have gathered together with, and we've been asked to remember Pauline at the beginning of service today, who's not feeling well. We had a list of numbers in Sunday school this morning, and I'm sure we have brought some names and gathering. I would ask, as we pray also, we remember our world, many who are gathering together, who already have because of the differences in time and celebrating the sacraments. Some will be doing it later on today. We remember God's Christians around the world. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity of gathering together around this table. And like families who gather as we used to do, and I trust in some ways perhaps we still do, we gather around the kitchen table, the dinner table, dining room table, and we break bread together, we share stories. How was your day? The rest. But we have gathered around this holy table, holy because of the one it represents, our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who offered his body upon the cross, who shed his blood so that redemption, salvation can be freely offered to all who may ask. I thank you that we can join many around the world, some of whom gather in the quietness and listening to the music as we have here, others all sorts of street noise. Others are huddled in bunches as bombs are going on around them. Others are doing it so secretly and quietly for fear of persecution. They're not able to openly share their faith. We pray for all. We pray for all who are ill and sick, and we mention Pauline and others that we remember. We pray for our children, and we're thankful for them. Protect them, Father, in this world that would seek to destroy them, confuse them, to entrap them, to deceive them. And we pray for ourselves that thy will might be done. Hear us as we spend a few moments in silent prayer. We remember what you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, please, and join in the singing of our last hymn of praise, 517.
Jesus and silver or gold, I'd rather be his than have riches.
king of a vast domain, or beheld in sin's dread sway. Upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you.